Thank you. This has been so interesting to hear, and to be, I feel like I'm really connected, and this is a beautiful way to begin the service. Wow. So for 30 years, I've done ceremonial kind of things, intentions with groups, and for the new year. So I thought it was just brilliant when Sally reached out to me. And one of the things that I was focusing on for the new year, and then her talk title saying, you know, there's a counselor in the house. Well, in my denomination and in my way of thinking, yes, we often need to reach out to people, psychologists, ministers, people of spiritual counseling capacity to focus on things. But I also believe when we're really trained and participate and figure it out, that the counselor is within. So this meditation music that I chose, I think just really touches the possibility of what's a wonderful life. You're going to understand that when you hear the music. But what I'd like you to do to use this time is let bubble up within you, what would your theme be for 2022? Now, a theme is different than goals. A theme is an intending, it's an energy, it's a possibility, it's a field. Whereas a goal, you know, is a beginning and an end. And we're working on the idea of a field of consciousness here today in a meditation, and allow something to emerge. What is seeking to emerge in you for 2022? I'll just give you one little example for what happened for me. When I first started doing this, my son was young, and he is hip hop. Well, he's not young anymore, but at the time we did this, and we were coming up with rhymes. And so one of them like was for 1995, more alive in 95. And then in 97, you know, all roads lead to heaven. I mean, there were all these different plays, and we had like 10 for each year, but it captured the theme, not the goal. So it's my belief is out of the themes, we then create our goals and we're more successful. So I invite you to use this time to quietly sit and just let your connection with the divine or the universe or whatever works for you bring through. What's your theme this year? I just want to speak to a bit of hidden agenda. This is my first Zoom talk on this new computer. When Sally reached out to me, my laptop was broken, and I thought I'll just use the one that is in my office that is just a desktop, but it is not user-friendly for Zoom. So this has been a very interesting process all week. Got the computer, had to figure it out. So there was a little bit of agitation when I first started this morning. I'm like, oh my God. But luckily, I had this beautiful meditation to lean into. So when I found that, it brings tears to my eyes because John is such a unique person, and that what he chose for us to consider for the wonderful life, I think is so meaningful, because in the paradox of the last few years in our lives, it's hard, I think, and I kind of heard it in the sharing, to really conjure up, what does that mean, a wonderful life in the midst of all the challenges and concerns we've been dealing with, not only personally, but collectively and in the world. And what I love about UU is just that commitment to the world. I first was really exposed to UU back at, well, not your UU, but UU in Seattle. There was a wonderful year, a whole year of concerts celebrating Bach at the Universal Church. Anyways, one of the things that was fascinating, I was going there every 2 to 3 times a week, listening to fabulous music. And then I got to really listen into the social justice and the perspective. And so also touching on that wonderful life, I think it really fits in with your mission and your vision. Like, how do we offer in the midst of crisis and challenge a wonderful life? How do we get nourished by our lives and still affect a change? So that is where I came up with what I'm going to share. And I invite you, as you're listening also, I really believe in the difference between having a theme and a goal. And that's when you read your mission statement and what principles, that's what you're using to like be the key to what is my next choice? What is my next thought? Am I living in alignment with what I said I believe? Well, often as a counselor, what happens is people come in and they just don't even know where to begin. And so often we really start by looking at what do they believe and what is driving their beliefs? Because often we're making choices unconsciously based on a whole series of experiences, thoughts, beliefs, attitudes, and then our lives may or may not be working right. And so we don't know where to draw strength and information from. So what I learned about this thing, about the difference between goals, which most people try to do at the new year, and a theme, is a theme captures the energy of what I hope my life will be about. And so right now in the midst, I have had to deal with this personally since 2016. I've been in challenge pretty much relentlessly. Personally, my house was in a fire. I got cancer. I'm all fine. I'm 100% good. But my house is beautiful. I have a gorgeous new condo out of the fire. But what really sustained me and helped me through all of it and continues to help is my inner work and my inner spiritual practices. And so what helps for me is to have like a goal. And the goal for me, like I said, when I was playing with those themes, this year, what I decided is 2022 is to make all things new. So how can I, when I approach my life, approach decisions, approach anything, I will check in several times a day, several times a week, a month. How am I doing with that idea? Do I really believe in that spiritual perspective of making all things new? And there's a lot of other places to play with that. So I encourage you to, when we get together afterwards, to be willing to share what is your perspective for 2022? One of the other things that is so intriguing is not really having a pulpit to lean all my stuff on, but I did bring a board. So I believe that ideas of what we think matters, what we choose matters, what we believe matters. And if we don't like the results of our lives, it behooves us to look closely, to listen more deeply, and take inspired actions by choosing consciously what we want for our lives and the lives of others. And I want you to consider this question. Wouldn't you rather be pulled forward in your life by a compelling vision or a compelling theme? What most of us know is we have this other side of that coin. Do you know that most of us move forward because we're being pushed by pain? And the thing about being pushed by pain is, yes, we'll make choices and we'll get behind our choices, but often they're under duress. We're making choices. And so why not have something deep within that I can rely on, which is my spiritual practice or my theme, to keep measuring, am I really moving into the life of my dreams? Am I really moving into what I say I want? And so most of us have never learned that there were choices we could make to live in our lives in alignment with our beliefs. We just didn't learn that. And we don't check in often enough to see how it's going. What we learned was through our pain that we needed to move, do something, change something. And we didn't know that we were living in reaction to what was being presented. You know, I came up with three quotes to anchor the talk in. And if you read them, great. If not, I'm going to start with the first one, though. And the first one is by Suzuki. He's a special, he's a Zen Buddhist. And he wrote a book called Zen Mind. And it says, in the beginner's mind, There are many possibilities, but in the expert's mind, there are few. If your mind is empty, it is always ready for anything. It is open to everything. Why I like that in relation to this, in relation to the meditation music, is that what can I bring if I'm in the midst of crisis and challenge or issues or the world's concerns, and I'm not remembering what really anchors me? I don't have a deep and abiding spiritual practice or meditation practice or whatever I use, whether it's walking or writing or painting, whatever it is, then I'll rely usually on my expertise. Any of you fall back on your degrees and your expertise? You know, and it's okay. It's good that we have that. But it also can block the ability to find new and creative solutions. So I kind of have some rules of the road. Once we open up our minds and become open to being ready for anything, the most important skill that I invite you to consider here, I call them the four C's. Curiosity. I ask you to use your willingness to be open and curious, to have a fresh perspective. And as I mentioned early, to recognize the field of all possibilities. Now, the field of all possibilities for me is similar to God. It's similar to quantum physics. It's similar to nature is a wonderful place to be gathering information. However you decide where you get sustenance and meaning for staying open to the field of possibilities, that is the thing about curiosity. If I'm an expert, I'm going to collapse on what I know. If I'm an expert, I'm going to do what is clearly what I've done before and it's worked. But I can't tell you how often when people come as a counselor or a minister, and they're really stuck in a circle, in a loop. They're circling the drain and they don't know how to move forward. And they've lost the ability to be curious. They've lost the ability to access creativity because they're so engaged in their collapsed truth. Nothing wrong to rely on it. But when we're saying, hey, there's a counselor in the house, I'm suggesting that maybe there's some skills that would help us really re-access our power and our ability to choose in clearer alignment with what we want going. So like if I'm really staying with my truth for this year, being making all things new, then when I'm having a stuck or an issue or watching the news and I'm freaking out because the news can, I'm so sensitive, can really work in me. I have to get curious about what's going on there. I have an opportunity to really listen and figure out what is mine to do, or maybe mine is just to hold it in consciousness. But by having curiosity as a skill and a tool for the path, I have more choices, I believe. And I invite you to consider this. So when I said there's four C's, the next one is about creativity. According to Twyla Tharp, creativity is a habit. The best creativity is a result of good work habits and proper preparation. Now, in spiritual terms, creativity to me is the field of all possibilities again. So if I have any belief that this universe is a creative medium and it is affected by my choices, my thoughts, my actions, then it behooves me, again, I don't know why I kept using that word in my talk, so I just kept it. But I really wonder, I don't have time to look it up, what the heck is that word? So I was thinking when I caught myself dealing with it, I didn't have time to look it up today, is behooving, you know, I was thinking of horses and their hoofs. So I don't know what that means, but maybe for me it means, you know, having a good shoe on and I can move forward easier because I've got the right tools. And in creativity, I believe that's where our possibilities create. Now, this is an interesting thing about Twyla Tharp. For those of you who don't know her, she's an amazing dancer, and she's instructed and produced thousands and thousands of shows and worked with thousands of dancers. And she wrote a book called The Creative Habit that I read back in 2003. And it's always stuck with me. And the idea being that she would say she would go into her workspace is all painted white with wood floors, and it's a big workspace with nothing on it. So she walks in for her new idea, and she creates from nothing something. And in that, she then creates something, but it's about really focusing in on the theme. She knew, you know, this was the theme she wanted to create. Maybe it was a Christmas production. So there's a theme, but it's open. It's open for possibility and creativity. So, but she says you really have to practice. That's the one real important tool I took from her work, was the preparation and practice. And I don't know about you, but so many people that I've worked with over the years, I forget that I have a window right here. And I thought I felt somebody walk by. You know, Zoom is interesting today. So to consider these questions again about, so we're working with curiosity, and now we're talking about creativity. And then for me now, the next one is connection. Is about making that inner connection and listen to what has heart and meaning and let it guide you. This is so important in the process of a theme. Like if I'm saying, oh, I'm going to make all things new, am I really listening current reality to what has heart and meaning for me now? Because a lot of times I'll say what has heart and meaning, and I'm comparing it to the past. And the past may or may not be helpful. But often that's the first place we go. And then I've got history there. I've got beliefs. That's where we go. But often it's the place where it keeps recreating the same thing over and over again. And then we're expecting different results. I know you've heard that definition of crazy. Well, everybody, raise your hand if you heard that. Okay, a few of you have. I'll say it. There's a definition of crazy that says doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. And that really is the key here of opening up to creativity and curiousness, and then connecting in a new way to what is really today in current reality, what has heart and meaning. And then the next one is called completion. Often we don't take a risk in this process, to really bring some of the habits that we have to completion, or we don't, we're not willing to bring closure forward. I have to tell you, I really understood this process for a year when I was displaced from the condo. My condo was involved in a fire. And this is a brand new condo, which I would never have been able to create the money for that to happen. So I did eventually get to the silver lining, but it took many, many days and months and even a few more years to keep unfolding this and unpacking it, because I was missing things that I had. And, you know, there were four condos involved. So we were all displaced for a year. I had to get over constantly not being mad at my neighbor's electricity that started the fire. I mean, really. But if I didn't have some willingness and some tools, I would have been devastated. And I came out on the other side. I did get help. I did work with my ministers and my colleagues. I worked with my counselors, but, and saying that there's a skill here that we're working in for finding that the counselor is within as well as without, it comes from a deep inner connection and a deep inner willingness, which again, here's curiosity, to bring some things to completion, like to really recognize I will never have that thing again. And then as a grief and loss minister, that's my skill, I'm a chaplain, you know, it's a never-ending process, and I'm being given a gift and an opportunity to keep choosing what is right and true for me today. What could I bring joy and meaning to today? So that's where it's important to keep looking at what is my theme? So my theme for 2016 was different than it is today. I was really coping and, you know, the theme had to have a lot of spaciousness for that to unfold. Okay, so now we got curiosity, creativity, connection, completion. And now the most important piece, which is what I didn't say is one of the four C's, it comes from having all of that, is choosing. Now we need to choose. And choose has power. Choosing has intelligence. But what most of us do, as I said earlier, is we collapse on the past truths and then try to make that happen again. So instead of having a new perspective or listening long enough or figuring out what might happen and really had beginner's mind, we might just keep recreating things. So I'll have people come in over and over that'll say, God, I thought I worked on this. I thought I finished this. I did that deep dive in therapy. I've been meditating on this for 20 years. So what I'm going to say there is choosing is a never-ending process. But often what we do is we think with one choice, it's fixed. One choice, that's it. One choice. And we forget the joy and the possibility exists of choosing anew. Now, I do want to throw out a piece of relentlessness about choosing. So every day for a year, because we were displaced for a year, I ended up having to be a construction manager of my site. I didn't know anything about any of this. They took everything down to the studs. I saw everything. I had to micromanage because they don't know what I want. And I never knew what I would want because I didn't choose this in my mind, right? It was chosen for me. So I constantly had to look at what is choice. And yes, now the key is having to do with my second quote. And this is really important as a counselor, as a minister, as a person trying to become your own counsel. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and freedom. That's by Viktor Frankl. And he would be someone that would know on a daily basis over and over and over the relentlessness of having to choose. But what most of us do is I don't know about you, but I forget that I have space. Like even this morning when I was coming to, oh my God, my computer and nobody's reaching out to me. And can I really do this? You know, I had to keep breathing and accessing and being subtle with myself about that space where I could choose my response. Any of you have any concerns in your life that might need you to look at that space between what's going on and where you want to go? And that's what the good news is about finding your theme. In the theme, you can start breathing into it. And what does it feel like if I make all things new? Let's play with, I don't have them all. Wait a second. I might have them out here. Okay. So I do have a list. Partially what also happened is with the computer dying, is a lot of my documents of my past died too. And again, having to deal with relentlessness of choice and not be disturbed by it. Anyways, so one of the things, 2002, I had a similar thing written, all things new in 2002. And 2003, I said all things free. You know, I like to play with rhymes. So, and that's because I hung out with a, you know, person that liked to do hip hop. And so I've heard every different kind of way of listening to what's going on. And 2004 was open the door, you know, 2005, thrive and revive. So I just invite you to play with me about your theme. And let's just cause a little space here right now and consider what I've been saying about beginner's mind. There's a space between, you know, how in that space is where the magic happens. In the space is where if I were really to let go and let the universe support my choices and decisions and gather the energy and possibility in the field, then things are going to happen beyond my wildest imagination. Like when I first stepped into the fire and then a year later, it's beyond my wildest imagination what happened, right? And what I do believe is I made my life easier because I have a sincere and dedicated spiritual practice of meditation. And that's where I constantly am looking at beginner's mind. Now, if you're a friend of mine, you're going to sometimes think, she doesn't know any of that, right? Because there's days when it doesn't, and none of it makes sense, but it doesn't last all day. It will only last a few minutes. But how can you draw yourself back to 2022 in the highest and best way? So the other thing that I talked about, let's see, being open and willing and reflective. Oh, yeah. I'm kind of gathering one more piece of really important information to share. This is we're all up against a lot in this world. Experiences and traumas from our life, conditions from our society, and our personal, social, and spiritual environment can profoundly affect our inner world. Much of the time we walk around on automatic, operating from unconscious perspective and repeating patterns that were developed throughout our lives. We get stuck in our unexamined assumptions about life and our personal mindset that doesn't know what it doesn't know. I love that. It doesn't know what it doesn't know. How much space do I give myself and permission with that phrase? What would it look like to make the unconscious conscious? To remember who we are in a more profound context and truly awaken the power within us to make conscious choices about how we create our lives. And by living who we are fully, inspiring others to do the same. Everything is interconnected. The work we do on ourselves creates a ripple out into our world. As we deepen our self-awareness and ability to respond to life with more presence, authenticity, and openness and depth, we create inspired actions that contribute to a more awake, compassionate, and connected world. Are you ready to take this next step in your life? Are you ready? So the next step in your life today, I invite you to consider, is your theme, and let it inform what has heart and meaning in your life this year, because it's a spiritual practice. Oh, I just saw somebody look this up. Behooves to be necessary, proper, or advantageous for. Huh. Okay, that fits. Thank you. Who did that? Little screen came up. Anyways, one of the other things that I really love about all of this, and, you know, like when I've been in situations in hospitals where people are dying and I'm facilitating, like a conscious wake, and we're all together and we're talking and we're having meaning and we're exploring things together, we create a space, and that space provides a lot of opportunity for us to remember who we really are. And I would like to say that's one of my deepest wishes for all of us, is not to wait till we're in these terrible situations before we make some choices about what we want our life to be about. Because that's, again, reacting to our lives versus responding to our lives. So then this is my last quote. And the last quote is from Howard Thurman, one of my favorite authors. And he said, "Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive." And so please, please, please enjoy taking a stand for your life this year, even in the midst of all the challenges that are here. It'll give you more resources and resiliency the more that you take this assignment on, because then when you're out and about and doing the world, you'll have the resources because you know yourself and you know what you need. And so I'm just trying to think if there was anything else Oh, yeah. What's really important to notice is most of us are making a lot of choices based on lack of ability, lack of skill, lack of, you know, whatever it is. But if we're open and curious about what has heart and meaning and be willing to be open and curious and develop a new creative space about it, we're going to develop a beautiful new life, a beautiful new opportunity. And I invite us to make 2022 the best life ever, even in the midst of all of this. So I'm kind of close. And what I closed with was I chose a song, and I want to tell you why I chose this song. And I think it's really fun that Susan mentioned she was just at Disney World. So I was at a chaplain conference in California, and one of the gals said, let's go out. So a couple of us went to Universal Studios, and it was right when this song that I'm going to have us play came out. And so I don't know if you've been to Universal Studios, but it was so much fun. And it was such a good way to lighten up this heavy thing that I do in the world called chaplaincy in hospitals. It can be amazing. But anyways, I'm going off. So we're going to there's these escalators that go down the side of a hill to get from one level of the park to the next. And it is so steep, and I have issues about that kind of steepness. Anyways, it was really interesting, and it was the only way down, so I had to get there. And guess what? There were hundreds of people taking this. There were four of these going down on one side, four of them going up on the other, and you're just really not that far apart. And the music was this song, and everybody, every single person was kind of bopping to it, kind of mouthing the words and thinking about it. And one of the things that really struck me about this, and even about today, and talking in the midst of challenge and crisis, how do you maintain your center, is find the things that bring you joy and do it. So if it's dancing, if it's listening to music, you know, whatever brings you joy. I've started learning. I used to love, until COVID, these things called sipping paints. Now, I'm not really drinking, but I'm there because I wanted to paint. So, but I've had to now internalize that because I'm not going anywhere except in my house. So I'm going to leave this idea with you. Find what can bring you joy and meaning and start the day with that as well. So start with meditation, and then start with maybe a few minutes of dancing or a few minutes of walking, or really enjoy your coffee. But so there we go. Go off and be about the business of your lives. Thank you for sharing this time with me.